For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It's FA Cup weekend again, the fourth qualifying round. We speak with Phil Annetts with his at FA Cup Backfar hat on, and some impressive stats and facts coming out from Phil's data bank. We then speak to the secretary at Horsham FC, who have a local derby at home to Dorking Wanderers in the FA Cup this weekend. And they're looking to cause an upset in front of a sellout home crowd. Jeff Barrett has been involved with the club for nearly 50 years through highs and many lows. But the club is now on a sure footing and looking to make gradual progress season after season. Rounding up the show and the week's news is editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Matt Badcock, giving us a heads-up on the stories to be featured in this weekend's non-league paper. Plenty to come, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start off this week then with a familiar voice, the man in the know. It's FA Cup weekend, and once again, and in the fourth and final qualifying round of the competition, we've got 32 ties, and there's plenty of history to be made by those 64 non-league clubs left in the competition. To find out more and give us all the stats, facts and the magic of the FA Cup, there is only one man in the know, and it is a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome back, Phil.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be back to talk about the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. It's been a long time since the competition started, and it's now getting to that very, very exciting stage.
Yeah, as I say, 32 ties, 64 clubs left in. But I was astounded, and I shouldn't be, but I was, at the number of non-league clubs who've already been dumped out of this year's competition.
I know, it's so amazing, isn't it? We've lost, was it 576 clubs already through the first five rounds of the competition? And obviously, we've got a whole load coming in this round, and there's still the 92 Football League clubs to join. So, yeah, a lot of clubs do fall by the wayside. And it does seem for me a little bit harsh that we have so many non-league clubs, and yet only 32 of them can make it through to the first round. But, you know, I've suggested some changes to the structure that might allow more, but we are where we are.
We are where we are. But all those dreams broken. You know, this round, though, it's so special. I always say that it is one of the most exciting weekends if you're a non-league fan, whether your club's involved or not, beyond the final weeks of the season, which I guess are sort of there. This really can make or break your career as a player, you know, make a massive difference to you as a football club. It is an exciting weekend, and I guess for you, even more exciting.
Yeah, it is extremely exciting because all those, particularly those involved, I mean, if you can get through to the first round, it's tantalisingly close. And, you know, some of the clubs haven't been there before, so they don't really know what that would mean, getting that far. But you get national exposure, you've got the potential to face one of the past winners of the FA Cup that will be involved in the first round. And you may, you know, get the chance to be on national TV and really be in the limelight. And, you know, it's just so close for a lot of these clubs. It must be really exciting for them.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be involved in a number of those draws for the first round. This year's FA Cup first round draw takes place after all these games are finished, Sunday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. And I've been lucky enough to be involved in those draws. It is one of those weird sort of almost out of body experiences waiting for your club to be drawn out, particularly if once the draw's gone further, you know, through three quarters of the way, and you're still in that pot, and you're wondering what's going to happen. Of course, before all of that draw on Sunday, we've got all of the games, all 32 ties being played on Saturday. Just the one early kickoff as well, I think, the BBC iPlayer and Red Button game chosen as Bracknell Town against Dagenham and Redbridge, 12:30 p.m. kickoff. Again, not a great surprise. I think it was one that I highlighted as a cracker when the draw was first made. But there's potential for an upset, as there are across many of these ties.
Well, definitely in that one, because obviously Bracknell had such a good run last season, so they'll be keen to experience that again and get through to the first round once more. So, yeah, I think a step three side at home to a step one side, definitely a chance to see some upset there. And the interesting thing for me for the whole draw is that there's only two ties in the whole round, which involve National League side facing each other. So that suggests there's a lot of ties there where there is an opportunity for a cup set, and it's a question of where will it happen or where will they happen.
Yeah, those are two all National League side ties. Altrincham, Oldham Athletic, again, another big game there. And Wealdstone and Bromley. As you say, there's a chance for clubs to, you know, really put themselves on the map by, you know, creating a cup set. And once you get sort of the taste of blood, shall we say, of taking a big scalp, you do tend to see clubs going on and getting one or two more as they move through the competition.
Well, Leek Town will be one of those clubs hoping that that's true, given that they had a fantastic result against South Shields live on the BBC iPlayer in the last round. They travelled to AFC Fylde, who are obviously struggling in the National League.
And lost their manager this week, Adam Murray. So could well be without a manager this weekend in a very important match for them. In make or break of their season. Leek Town, I guess, you know, it's almost like a shot for nothing for them, isn't it? The lowest ranked side in the competition.
They are. They were the lowest ranked side at the time of the draw, but since then the tables have changed a little bit, and I think it's Sheppey United now. Oh. Make that claim of being the lowest ranked club in their division. They're a couple of places below where Leek Town are. So interesting for Sheppey United. They've got a chance to produce an upset again at Billericay Town. One of the stats that I think is quite amazing for that club is that they're a second edition of a Sheppey United club, and between them, this was their 105th FA Cup campaign, but they've yet to appear in the first round proper. Wow. And so this would be amazing if they could get themselves past Billericay. And if you go back to 1919-20, the original Sheffield United club did make it to what was then known as the sixth qualifying round, which a lot of people regard to be the same as the second round now. But unfortunately, at the time, it wasn't regarded as a proper round. So this could be an amazing history for the club if they can pull one over against Billericay at the weekend.
Wow. And the demise and rebirth of clubs, I mean, it's not something to be celebrated normally, but I do feel this round, it's almost created a few additional talking points for fans, at least, re-invoking memories of games against the previous incarnations of their opposition.
Yes. Yeah, no more so than, I think, for Marine, who I know they had the brilliant memories from the Tottenham game not so long ago, but back in the early 90s, they faced Halifax Town in the first round and won quite handsomely 4-1. And I'm sure there's still many fans from the club who were at that game will remember how fantastic that day was. So they now face FC Halifax Town, obviously trying to do an amazing double.
Yeah, you mentioned that obviously the competition's been going on, since August, isn't it? And unfortunately, no side still in that began the competition in that opening extra preliminary round. But there are five Step 4 clubs left in the competition, although I think it's only Crave Valley Paper Mills of those that are drawn at home from that batch.
Yeah, they have. So, I mean, it's great that the Step 4 sides have got a chance to go to higher league opposition, place where they wouldn't normally get to play, but I'm sure many of them would have wished they had their home tie like Cray Valley Paper Mills do, and obviously they're home against Enfield Town, who are only one league above them, so they will fancy their chances both at home and with an opposition that's not that far ahead of them. But Enfield, obviously, they've got to look to make their own history. They've never gone beyond the fourth qualifying round as Enfield Town, so it'll be all up for a big game there, I think.
Yeah, we said earlier about the opportunity to make a big name for yourself. Obviously, we would expect Step 1 and Step 2 sides to dominate across the 32 ties. But there are at least three sides outside the top two destined for the first round.
Yeah, so we mentioned the Cray Valley Enfield Town and the Billericay Sheppey United ties. They will guarantee a club from below Step 2. And the third one is AFC Totten, who take on Ramsgate. So step three versus step four. So it is good that we will see at least three clubs from below step two in the first round, and you may even see a few more from how the other ties go.
Yeah, I was wondering whether we get that Totten and Ramsgate that tie, could that be the Antler Derby or something? Certainly when I was looking at your stats on social media, you've got the two logos of those clubs there. I mean, it's quite fierce opposition there, isn't it? The Stags against the Rams in their logos.
Who would win that battle in the wild? A Stag, I would imagine. But you don't know. It's quite interesting when you look at the nicknames of clubs as well to see who takes on who. So Stags v Rams. It could be, as you called it, you're diversifying into these derby titles, which is great to hear. So the Antler Derby, I think that will do well.
Yeah, I'm not. Hopefully, I don't go as far as Peter Drury does. So it seems to relate any club to any other club becomes a derby at the moment. But it's a commentator's nightmare, I guess. The obviously we love a grudge. I've already mentioned the Wealdstone Bromley game. Is that a 76 year wait? I think you reported back there, but it's the Chesterfield tie against Kettering Town. I think I'm pretty certain that there's not going to be anybody still around that remembers the last time Chesterfield met Kettering Town.
It is amazing that these clubs, or any clubs, leave such a large gap between meeting each other in the FA Cup. But it is 123 years, in fact, since Chesterfield were beaten by Kettering, as they were known then, in a replay. So they will be obviously keen to avenge that defeat if they are aware even themselves that it happened. And they've got a good chance, given that they're now two steps above the opposition. So, they would see that they've got a fantastic chance to make that count.
They're the in-form team, I guess, in the National League. But then they are up against the FA Cup's all-time goal scorers.
Well, that's right, yeah. Kettering Town have been adding a goal a round in the three rounds that they've played so far, and they've pulled themselves ahead of Tottenham, two goals clear, to be now the official top-scoring club in the FA Cup history.
And that's what we love about the FA Cup, is that it's the non-league clubs that are the ones with the records that really do astound everybody. Perhaps one of those other games that might have expected to be on TV, Yeovil Town against Southend United. I think Yeovil are sort of a bit of non-league magicians, aren't they, in terms of FA Cup?
They are indeed, yeah. They are synonymous with the FA Cup as a non-league team. They hold the record, which they could extend in terms of making it to the first round for the most times as a non-league side. So they've already achieved it 52 times in the past. So another victory on Saturday would take them further forward in that record in itself.
And again, once you're involved with non-league, there's always additional records to be had. I loved your one about Rochdale, fairly inexperienced at this round.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, they're unused to taking part in this part of the competition. So it is, I think, 99 years since they last had to play a game in the qualifying rounds. And they don't have a great record of their first match in the competition over the years, because they also hold the record of the most first-round exits in the competition. So they'll be a bit nervous, I'd imagine, that they would not make it through. And there's a couple of other clubs who've got long-standing records of always being in the poppy rounds in over 100 years or so, and that's Oldham and Hartlepool United. And, it would be interesting to see if they can maintain those records.
I'd imagine that your stats and facts are a manager's dream sometimes, and also a manager's nightmare in certain other circumstances. Because there's clubs that you think, oh, they must have a great record in the FA Cup, and then you go to read your stats, and as you say, there's clubs that haven't been past this round in decades, and it's amazing how it's almost like a gypsy curse for some clubs, isn't there, on the FA Cup? I mean, you've given us plenty of stats and facts. Is there anything we've missed out on in terms of your favourite stats for this round, Phil?
Well, I think there's quite a few clubs who will be looking to try and make the first round for the first time in quite a while. And it's not like they've had a lot of chances, so it's not like they're always in the fourth quarter round. But we talked about League Town. It's 30 years since they made it to the first round. Avely, who are at home to Barnet, they've got a great chance to get through. But it's 53 years since they last made it that far. But it's Aston United who have had to wait the longest to appear in the first round. And it's 68 years since they last did so. I think another little side stat about Aston United, they're actually in the fourth qualifying round alongside Kurs and Aston for the first time ever. So both those club teams, side clubs who are very near neighbours, both in the fourth qualifying round, both with a chance, I guess, of making it into the first round too. So it could be a fantastic time for that part of Manchester in come Saturday night.
And that's the sort of fact that only you, as at FA Cup Fact File, would have been able to tell us. There's nobody else that I'd rather be interviewing about the magic of the FA Cup. Before I let you go, where can people find the full depth of your stats and facts and follow you on social media?
Yeah, so the best place to follow what I produce is on what was Twitter, I still call it that, and it's at FA Cup Fact File, and on there you'll find a whole tie-by-tie facts and stats for all 32 ties this weekend.
Phil Annette's at FA Cup Foul. Phil Annette's at FA Cup Fact File, and I'm not going to cut that because it just shows that I'm fallible. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Perfect. Thanks, Tim.
Now, it's not every weekend that you get a derby in the FA Cup fourth qualifying round, because of the breadth of clubs and the basic regionalisation of the draw. But my next guest ties immediately attracted my attention. They welcome Surrey rivals this weekend, who have risen to greater heights in recent years, but I'm sure my next guest feels his side is ready to show them some reality. To tell us more, it's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Secretary at Horsham FC, Jeff Barrett. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks. Yeah, delighted. Looking forward to the game as well.
Well, I mean, Horsham against Dorking Wanderers, maybe not the tie everybody is hanging on across the country, but I'd imagine it's got the locals and certainly the fans buzzing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We've got a limited capacity at the ground, just under 2,000. And we sold out, both clubs sold out their allocations within 2 or 3 hours on Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. I think your capacity is about 1,900. It's not quite the 7,000 at the old ground, you know, when you played Swindon Town. But I mean, it's going to be, you know, quite some noise, I would have thought.
Oh yes, it will be. We sort of had a similar run 2 years ago in the FA Cup when we played Woking at home in the fourth qualifying round, and at that time I think they were fourth in the National League, so we had a full capacity, which is 1,980 in fact in our case, at the ground, and there was a great atmosphere, you know, and we expected to be similar on Saturday.
Yeah. Now, as someone who has to oversee the logistics of big games like this at my own club, this home tie, they can be wonderful, but they can also be a wonderful headache as well, can't they? And I need to say, the organisation and the very detailed visitor's guide for this game available on your website is second to none. I mean, it looks like it's going to run like clockwork.
Yeah, you can never guarantee it'll run like clockwork. We try to plan it in such a way that it will. For a club at our standard, our gates are quite high. Mm. We regularly get four-figure gates anyway. For local derbies, we've had 1,600, 1,700, 1,800. So it's almost capacity. And we had the practice run 2 years ago when we played Woking, and that went very smoothly. So we know what we have to do. Dorking have been great help in, they'll be supplying one or two stewards as well, so some friendly faces for their fans. We got professional stewards in that we're employing on the day, and dealt with all the logistics. One of the greatest logistics is car parking, which is quite limited round our way. So, but we've managed to secure alternative parking with the local bus company supplying a shuttle bus to the ground. So it's all things like that, and then the catering and so on and so forth. But it's all in hand. We've got it all planned. We've got something like 30 of our own stewards and so on, our own volunteers who will be stewarding on the day and doing other jobs. So, it's all in hand. As I say, it's all ticket. Everyone's got their tickets, and so we don't envisage any particular problems.
Yeah, and in the era of FAQs and frequently asked questions, when I was reading through your guide, almost every question was covered. Is it because you're used to these sort of four-figure crowds, as you say, every week? Is it just sort of everybody? Because you've not been back at the ground that long. It evolved over time?
Yes, it's been a steep learning curve for us. We moved into the new ground. We built our own ground in 2019, having been sort of nomads for a few years with no ground at all. And we've had to sort of learn how to deal with these things. I think when we first moved in, we were sort of planning on getting gates of... we thought if we got 400 or 500, that'd be brilliant. And then it was increasing and increasing. We were getting over 1,000 in some of them. And the people of Horsham have welcomed us back. They've really supported us brilliantly since we've been back. And so we've been focusing very much as we've gone on providing a good product and a good service that the local community can enjoy, and that's why we're very much supporter focused. I think that helps.
It does look like fan experience is very much high up on your agenda, and that's great for fans of your club, but also fans of non-league, I think, because it then rubs off when opposition come to you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think if you look at the Isthmian League attendances now compared with what they were to, pre-COVID, I think you'll find that there's quite a few clubs who are getting really good gates these days, particularly the Sussex clubs, actually. Hastings and Lewis and Bognor, they're all getting really good attendances, some four figures plus. Mm. So, we're really pleased with the way things are progressing. We've got a plan to gradually improve. We've just increased the number of stands at the ground so that it's more comfort for supporters. And we like to feel we've got every eventuality covered, and we're looking to a good game that everyone will enjoy.
It all sounds great now, but as you said, Jeff, there were times when you were nomads. You didn't have anywhere to play. It looked like your ground was never going to get built. I mean, how long have you been involved at the club, Jeff? Because it's just I think I've known you doing every job at the club.
Yes, I've been involved since 1974, so it's my 50th year involved with the club. And it's one of those things. There have been occasions when I've thrown all my toys out of the pram and sort of gone away for a little while, and then I come back to it. But it's, being part of a club, it's something that gets under the skin somehow, and you just absolutely love it. I love the people. It's all about people. Let's face it, a club is not about just bricks and mortar, although, our ground is a very nice one for our standard. But it's all about the people, and you meet so many people. And if you can bring a little bit of happiness and enjoyment to them, that's what you want. And that is where volunteers such as myself, all our board of directors, we're fans and unpaid volunteers who are running the club. And that's where it makes it all worthwhile somehow.
Yeah, it is those people, it is those relationships, which I think, it's shown by your crowds and the increases there. And the fact that your manager must be one of the longest serving in non-league and has brought you up through the levels.
He took over, I think this is his ninth season, and he took over when three games in the end of the season when we were relegated from the Isthmian League to what was then the Sussex County League, and subsequently the Southern counties combination. We appointed him then, and he got together a team which got us promoted back to the Isthmian League at the first attempt. And he's carried on from there, and we've been looking for an improvement year on year on year. And I think we've achieved that. Last season, we were just a couple of places outside the playoff places in the Premier Division of the Isthmian. And, we'd like to think we can get into the playoffs proper this year and have a stab at perhaps getting promotion, although that is not necessarily the be-all and end-all of what we expect from this season, but you always have ambitions, and gradually we will continue to progress and hopefully get ourselves into the next division up and be a sustainable club in the National League South.
Sustainability is the key, isn't it?
That is the thing. I mean, financially, because of some fairly prudent investment following when we sold our previous ground at Queen Street, it's meant that we've been able to we purchased the freehold of another sports club, hoping to develop it, but that didn't happen. But we still own that. But we were able to invest in the new ground. So we own the freehold of two grounds, which are quite valuable, and they are locked in so that we can't do anything with those grounds in terms of, selling them or mortgaging them or anything like that. But we're debt free, and that's how we intend to operate. And we've got a good, obviously a good following. We've got a good commercial operation, and so on. And we're making sure that we break even season on season. That's how we operate.
It sounds like you've got the perfect model. Again, if Hollywood are looking for another documentary to be made, Horsham look like the experts.
Well, I wouldn't like to say we're experts. We've made mistakes along the way, I'm sure. But, we like to feel we're heading in the right direction, and we've got the right sort of principles that we operate by.
The distance between you and Dorking, is a matter of 30
about
miles?
11 miles.
11 miles.
No, it's about 11 miles. Yeah.
How's that been with their meteoric rise, and when you were also, scrabbling for your ground and then getting in, you got into your new ground, didn't you? You were in the playoffs, and then we had the COVID season. So it must have been hard watching them sort of go past you.
Traditionally, I guess, because I mean, Dorking Wanderers, their rise has been astronomical.
I suppose it's been so meteoric, they're not rivals.
In fact, I think probably our manager and theirs, who are friends anyway, have come through the same sort of background, sort of starting off down in the lower reaches of the old Sussex County League and getting promotion through the divisions. They've gone through that, and we've watched them. I don't think we necessarily envy them. They've done really, really well, and good luck to them. We do look for their results and that, and so on. But there isn't a natural rivalry over the decades between Horsham and Dorking, for example. We're either side of the Sussex-Surrey border. They're a few miles north, and we're a few miles south. And our rivalry, traditional rivalry, has been over other clubs in Sussex that clubs like Lewis and Bognor and so on. That's where our natural rivalry is, even though the distance between Horsham and them is further than it is to Dorking.
Mm. And I mentioned you've had various roles. You've been secretary for a long old while there. And I always say secretary is the most difficult job. It's the one that if anybody's going on holiday and they ask if I can cover, I try and find as many excuses as possible to not do it. But in the FA Cup, even this season, you've had a tough route through, haven't you? What was it? A replay win hung to Leatherhead in the first qualifying round, a 3-1 away win in the replay at Marlow in the second qualifying round, and then a 3-1 win over Hanworth Villa at home in the last round. But that's a lot of paperwork for a secretary.
Yes, I think if anyone from the club's listening to this, they'll have a wry smile about the secretary not going on holiday, because I do go on quite a lot of holidays, and I've got a very able assistant in Annie Raby, who's the match secretary, who deals with much of the paperwork. I tend to do interfere with this and that and so on.
But, as you said, it's all about the people then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the admin side of it is fine. You know, there's no problem with that. And in this day and age where you've got internet and so on and so forth, it's probably rather easier than the old system of putting things in an envelope and sending it off by post. But in terms of the previous rounds we've had, in fact, all three matches, isn't it? Through all three matches have been against clubs from the Isthmian South Central Division, so one division below us. All three of them have been there. So, and we probably struggled a bit more than perhaps we would have expected to in those games. But in the end, we got the results we needed, and we're here in the fourth qualifying round against, again, like we were 2 years ago, against National League opposition, obviously two divisions above us. And we'll put up the best fight we can. You know, hopefully things can go all right. We beat Woking 2 years ago and got the reward of an away trip to Carlisle United, which was an interesting weekend, about 380 odd miles each way. But, you know, it's an experience that I know the players and the supporters love, that sort of thing.
The magic of the FA Cup. And great cup runs seem to be your forte this season, of course, because you've got the next round of the FA Trophy at the end of the month as well. And another trip to a step four side, Larkhall Athletic, where, again, I guess you'll be the Goliaths to their David.
Indeed, yes. They'll be looking to do a bit of giant killing down there. We don't know all that much about them because obviously it's down in Bath, which again is quite a long journey for us. But it's new friends to meet, new opposition, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, I obviously I can't suggest that people come to the game on Saturday for the FA Cup because it's a sellout, but I would definitely recommend people get down to Horsham to enjoy the experience there as a fan. Jeff Barrett, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend, and we hope to speak to you again very soon.
Thank you very much, and we welcome anyone along to our ground, and they will get a good welcome. So, yeah, that's my plug. Thanks a lot.
Time then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towns. There's a welcome back to the Non-League Show to Editor-at-Large of the Non-League Paper. It's Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
It's another Thursday. It's another Thursday. We're at that stage of the season where we've got FA Cup, then FA Vars and FA Trophy, then FA Cup. It's just sort of like coming thick and fast. So it's FA Cup weekend ahead.
Got FA Cup fever.
FA Cup, wow, FA Cup, it is, I just think it's probably one of the biggest weeks, certainly within the season, on the non-league calendar, isn't it? This big fourth qualifying round, the National League clubs coming in, some mouth-watering ties to come, in particular, the all-National League tie of Altrincham and Oldham Athletic. I think that's one that I'm certainly looking out for the result on.
There's a lot, and as you say, it's a biggie of a weekend. You've got those sort of clashes like that, and then you've got the Cray Valley against Enfield Town. We've got Tottenham against Ramsgate. You know, real chances for both sides, all the sides in those sort of ties to get into that first round, and then you know what that can bring with the luck of the draw. I think we said a couple of weeks ago, this always has a bit of a first round feel to it these days, the fourth qualifying round. But obviously, you know, the ultimate goal is to get into that hat for that big draw. And you know, obviously clubs are already enjoying, like, you know, record runs and everything that sort of comes with that and the excitement. And but now it is really, you know, business on Saturday, and can you get into that hat? And because we know how life, you know, club changing, transformative an FA Cup run can be, and a big draw in the first round, and TV and everything that comes with it, how much it can do for a club, you know, not just financially and you know, that sort of tangible cash in the pot, but also, you know, the awareness that it brings and the sort of the interest it stirs up in towns and even villages each year is great to see. So there's going to be a lot of clubs happy on Saturday evening and looking forward to that draw at the start of next week on live telly.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, life changing and club changing. It was 19 years ago, I think, when I first came across Caroline Barker, young Caroline Barker, and the seeds for the non-league football show were sown when I was reporting back on Yedding facing Slough Town second round, and then Newcastle United in the third round. So yeah, it can have a big impact on everybody involved, and it's a big weekend for anybody to be able to say that they're playing in the fourth qualifying round, that chance for that first round game that you can play in. Now I think when we last spoke, we mentioned about that it was a fairly quiet week on the managerial merry-go-round at the time. Then it went crazy the next day, and it's been a fairly quiet week news-wise this week. With various deals going through on ownership at Southend and Scunthorpe, and that sort of kept that news sort of fairly quiet while all the stuff's going on in the background. And this week, there's been some big changes on the managerial merry-go-round, but I suspect that there's at least going to be one big one still to come, because when we're speaking now on Thursday afternoon, coming into Thursday evening, this morning we saw Oldham Athletic, who we mentioned are away at Altrincham in the FA Cup at the weekend, announced the departure of the interim manager Steve Thompson and Neil Redfern. The official club media also said that was in expectation of the announcement of a new arrival. But as of yet, I've just checked all the socials. No new announcement there. So surely somebody's going to be announced before the weekend's FA Cup tie at Altrincham. But I guess it suggests somebody maybe currently in a job elsewhere, maybe higher up the pyramid.
Well, yeah, I think, as you say, when they announced that the interim management team have left ahead of a big game, you sort of assume somebody's coming in. I think it's, you know, as we've said before, a job that people will be kind of desperate for. You know, lots would have been putting their hand up for it and hoping that they could be the person to sort of lead that club back. And because, you know, that's going to be obviously the ultimate aim. You know, it's not to go in there and consolidate and have a good couple of years. It's to get promoted as soon as possible. And we all sort of see how difficult that is. And some of the names that have kind of been linked to it shows what an appetizing job it is will be for many people. There's been a bit of talk about Mickey Mellon, hasn't there? He sort of is out of a job at the moment, and that sort of know-how of promotion knows what it takes to get out of the division. I think he's one of the favourites. But yeah, it's a great way of teasing. It's a great way of teasing into a job is to sort of announce that your interim management have gone in the morning and then hold everybody off.
Well, because that was in the morning. And I'm thinking by lunchtime there'll be an unveiling. You know, maybe they've met the players first thing in the morning at training, and then after that it'll be out to the world. And yeah, probably by the time everybody's listening to this, that the news might be out. Well, Friday does tend to be announcement day at the moment in non-league, but again, you know, maybe the superstitious amongst you might think Friday the 13th not maybe the best day to take over a new football club. It's an interesting one. I mean, the other big news at the start of the week was the departure from AFC Fylde of Adam Murray, who did so well for them last season but couldn't get the results in the National League this season.
Yeah, sort of. John Couch, a colleague in the office, I think he's seen Fylde twice this season, and kind of came away, and some other people as well, kind of come away scratching their heads how far they haven't won more games. From the sort of the sounds of things, whether that, you know, obviously I've not seen all their games, but whether that's just sort of happens to be when they've watched them. But people have been talking quite highly of how they've played. I think they've had a few injuries and stuff, but it just hasn't happened for them this season. And it's a shame, really, because as you say, Adam came in last year with the remit of promotion out of the National League North, which he achieved and the club achieved. You know, they obviously well backed at that level and still full time, and the pressure was kind of on, and they managed to do that. And I guess they were ones that you would be thinking would be pushing a little bit higher up the table. But I think that's kind of shows how ruthless kind of football management is. You know, kind of success is quickly moved on from, isn't it, in football? And obviously that's happened there, and it's not been easy for them this season. They've only won twice in their first 15 games, and lost 10 of them, and you know, it just hasn't happened. But I'm sure Adam Murray was sort of taken a lot from this role. And I spoke to him when he first came in, and he kind of felt, you know, when they won promotion and how much that meant to him, how pleased he was, because he obviously had his jobs at Mansfield and then Boston, which I think at the time, when he looks back now, he says that it wasn't right for him, and he wasn't kind of ready for it, and he didn't ever fully get his head around working with kind of part-time players at that time. And then obviously he's been off with Barnsley and West Brom, and out in Turkey working with Ishmael out there, Ishmael, looking at Besiktas, and working with World Cup players. He went off to the World Cup last year and things like that. So then he came back into non-league, and because he kind of wanted to scratch the itch, which he did. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be looking to kind of get back in, and be disappointed with how it's kind of worked out there. But unfortunately, as you say, the results just haven't happened. And you know, again, a job that quite a few people will fancy and be looking for, because they know the sort of the ambition of the club.
Yeah, indeed, it's an interesting timing though, because Farder at home against the lowest ranked club in the FA Cup this weekend, Leek Town. It looks, I suppose, straightforward on paper, but I guess if you've not got a manager and the manager's gone because of results, there's always that chance of a little bit of doubt, and you know the opposition is probably a shot to nothing for them. It's a potential banana skin.
Well, I think it'll definitely be coming up in leaks. You know, I imagine it training this week and tonight when they've been kind of talking about it, and they'll you know, about the game generally, but you know, it'll definitely be mentioned about, you know, what kind of place the squad's been in. Obviously, saying maybe unlucky not to have more points on the board, but the fact is they haven't been winning games of football in league will be, you know, hoping can they kind of go and cause that upset and get themselves into the first round. And that's, you know, the beauty for them is that they don't have anything to lose, because nobody's looking at that expecting them to win, are they? If we see that come through on Saturday, that Farn have won, everyone will kind of be thinking, well, you know, obviously to be expected. But, and that's the beauty of the cup, and that's with so many games across the country this weekend, where, you, as we've said before, there will be at least one shock. There will be one, and it's just the question is, who's it going to be? Where is it going to come from? And you know, and then what are the rewards after that?
Yeah, it's always, there's always one, if not more, that will be grabbing the front page of the non-league paper, I'm sure, this weekend. Of course, I myself have been pumping some money into that merry-go-round for the managers this week. A bit of a change at Hazen Yedding United. Richie Hanlon has been with Hazen Yedding effectively since 2016. He's made the move. He made the move from assistant to first-team manager during summer when Paul Hughes stepped down. But a bit of a curveball this week. The arrival of Mark Molesley to work with him. Mark takes on the top job with Richie staying on to assist him as assistant manager. Again, another Mark, former Hayes player, great success in the Southern Premier South with Weymouth, getting them double promotion back up to the National League at the time. And I guess, you know, from my point of view, we're hoping for more of the same.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. And I'm, you know, as you, yeah, you know, sort of about wanting to bring it up. You know, you got close a couple of years ago in that final against Farnborough, and we know that they can go either way. And it's an exciting league this year, the Southern Premier South, isn't it? Not all that far away. Is it 7 points off the playoffs at the moment? You know, it's quickly turned around, and say Mark comes in with that experience, that knowledge of how to get out of the division, doing it with Weymouth, and I'm sure you'll have a few big games between now and the end of the season if you can get you going and kind of get you pushing into that mix. It'd be exciting times down at Hayes.
Yeah, well, it's first game in charge against Merthyr Town, who were early pace setters, currently second in the table with a game in hand, and tabletop as Gosport Borough, one of the next games that he has to face as well. So as you say, there'll be some big games ahead.
Good start then.
Yeah, nice and easy. I mean, he's got a weekend.
Oh well, I'll take it back.
Yeah, he's got a weekend off this weekend because we are out of the FA Cup and Totten were due to be our opposition, and they've obviously got their home tie against Ramsgate this weekend in the FA Cup. So it does give him an opportunity to sort of check out the squad and sort of see how things go. So yeah, maybe. Maybe an easier position than many managers that come in. But some of the other moves that I've sort of spotted this week, an interesting one again this morning. Chris Nunn leaving AFC Rushden and Diamonds. They've struggled, haven't they? Someone with Chris Nunn with so much experience and knowledge of the non-league game thought he might be the right fit, but they've just struggled in recent years, Rushden, to find the right chemistry, I think, with the management.
Yeah, I think obviously Andy Peake's had great success there, didn't he? And when the club came into the pyramid and. See, Andy's gone to Tamworth now and got them flying high in the National League North. But yeah, it's been difficult since then for the club. And you say when someone like Chris Nunn can't quite get it right, you know, it shows what a difficult task football management is and non-league football is. You know, they've lost all nine games this season, not really scored many goals. And sometimes it is just that change, someone coming in and. I think it shows that Chris kind of himself, I think he's said, didn't he? You know, it's just the right time to sort of step away and let someone else have a crack. So, obviously, far from my ideal start, but as we were saying, it's amazing what a win on the board can do and how that can change things around. You know, they're actually only 7 points sort of away from safety at the moment. It sort of feels like this is the time for clubs when they'll make changes now to kind of get ahead of it rather than let things. Drift on, but it's a shame to see because obviously you know he's had great success in non-league and actually Rushden Diamonds have as well, as we said, since they've kind of come back in into the pyramid, and I'm sure again it'll be a job that a lot of people in that area will sort of fancy and feel that they can get it going and get them on the up again and obviously you know get them the long-term plan is going to be to get them up into the back into step three and possibly beyond, but at the moment it's going to be going in and arresting the tricky start that they've had.
Yeah, it's always going to appeal as a project, as many of these managers sort of talk about. But as you say, you've got to do the basics first just to make sure that the safety's assured. Other moves as well. Jermaine McLachlan has left Fleet's Town, has taken on the vacant role at AFC Croydon Athletic. An interesting one, Danny Caldicott that has been off, has taken up a 2.5-year deal at Clitheroe. Which ends his 3-year-plus stint at fellow Northern Premier Division 1 West Side Trafford. But the interesting one there is that he leaves Trafford, who are bottom of the division without a win, but with games in hand, and arrives at Clitheroe, who are third in the table. Now, that's not normally the sort of managerial move that we report.
I don't often sort of see that. Sometimes you see managers dropping down sort of within the same division, don't they, because they can sort of see a potential of a club, and Clivero seemed very very happy to have the man as well, so you know I think he's got great experience as a player, and so he come into management and I think I saw something with Trafford saying they're now looking for, is it their fifth manager in about 15 years, so you sort of see that sort of stability at the club that they kind of have as well, so it's an interesting move, and you can see Clivero kind of looking at it from a long-term basis that they're going to give him that 2.5-year deal to kind of make it his own and kind of try and take them forward again.
Yeah, and then that's great that we see clubs thinking more of the long-term plan. You know, they are in those playoff positions at the moment. Maybe that's you know, not a true position of where they expect to be or think they might end up. So, you know, giving him this longer term deal means that they can build all the right foundations around. And brilliant to have those plans, but then sometimes best laid plans that fall apart, don't they? Like last week, we missed the news because it broke on Friday morning that the withdrawal from the Southern League by Hamworthy United. That news broke after we went out. Sad news of a side that so recently were riding high on a wave and now having to make tough decisions just to keep the club alive. I think, you know, we all knew that they had to make that last minute ground share to go to Weymouth when there were the issues with their stand, and now when that stand, which they share with the Dorset FA, was being demolished. Asbestos has been found. It's going to be more costly. They're going to take longer, and it's just the club can't afford a long term ground share.
Yeah, and as you said, they very much, you know, that was the reason was to keep the club alive in their words. And you know, it's been a frustrating time. I think since the closure of the seated stand last year. Obviously leased their ground from their county ground from the Dorset FA. So it's been difficult, and they had that 11th hour ground share with Weymouth so they could get into the play in the playoffs, and obviously you know, this year they've started and kind of hoping that things will be on the up. And I think it's obviously, you know, they've got a reserve side at step 7, haven't they? So yeah, in the Dorset Prem. So That will kind of keep going, but keeping a club at step 4 is the club seen it as unsustainable. And I think, you know, the chairman Steve Minchin said to us last week that, you know, he obviously disappointed, but felt they're capable of playing higher and achieving, or playing at that level at step 4 and achieving more. So it's obviously not a decision that they didn't just sort of wake up and decide to take. It would have been a very hard one, but keeping the club and protecting the club was the ultimate objective for them, and hopefully, you know, they can kind of come again from in the years to come now. But I think we're seeing that we've seen Eastwick go this year, and we saw Harlow go last year, and we're sort of seeing a little bit, feels like we're seeing a little bit more now, that in season clubs are kind of taking that decision. Not we've seen in the past, we've seen clubs who've gone and kind of had, you know, because they've just fallen off because they've tried to limp on for, you know, obviously lots of problems, obviously, and issues and things and off-field stuff that eventually catches up with them, whereas these sort of clubs are sort of not in the case of Eastwick, but in the case of Hamworthy and that's Harlow, as we saw last year, to sort of preserve things and kind of come again.
And as we've seen with, you know, the recent takeovers at Southend and Scunthorpe, and as we said, there's plenty of other clubs, I'm sure, in similar positions. Running a football club is such a unique beast. It's such a vast entity, different outgoings, incomings, you know, revenue stream that aren't going to be highly profitable, so it's the profit margins, you know, aren't like other businesses maybe. There's so many variables that if just two or three of those go against you, then you really are up against a wall and sort of on the edge of the precipice. And I'm sure there's other clubs looking at the situation of clubs like Hamworthy and you know, where their own stand maybe is, you know, just maybe needs some repairs. But you know, sometimes you put these off and put things off because you just want the best for your club and you want to keep going. And I just think I'm constantly badgering people at the FAs and things like that. We could do with some more help, some more advice down at non-league level.
Yeah, I think obviously we've seen lots of support come in, haven't we, over the years. But, you know, you know, I've never run a non-league football club. I've talked to lots of people who have, and you know, you can see who don't always appreciate how amazing it is that so many, you know, do keep going and are so well run. And but, you know, you can be as well run, and even those sort of clubs fall into issues as well, don't they? But you know, obviously there's some who are throwing money around and seem to have it growing on trees out the back somewhere. But for the majority, it is being as sensible as possible. And I think we've always said, you know, this support, how much is enough? There's always going to need to be more. And you know, I think obviously the top of the game will say that they do give a lot in, but you know, it kind of, and the vast sums that we're seeing at the top, and it does sort of stick in the throat a little bit sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, and of course we've got international break in the upper echelons of the game this weekend, and also no league action in step one of the non-league game in the National League because they're all in FA Cup action. So yeah, maybe that might help boost some of the crowds across non-league further down the pyramid. And, you know, there's, I think, one supermarket sort of touts around it. Every little helps.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that perfect opportunity, that great weekend for people to kind of get out. And nice that it comes on a FA Cup weekend as well, which always makes grabs the attention of people. And obviously, we know non-league day coming later in the season in March, but it's an unofficial sort of non-league day now these days, isn't it? Yeah, these international weekends where it's hopefully clubs can benefit from that and rope people and persuade people to come in, especially through those winter months when things aren't as easy, but it will still encourage people to get out and watch a game because they kind of get a little taste of it and get the bug that, as we all have. So, yeah, a great opportunity for, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? You see even more league games are kind of called off at League One and League Two these days for international call-ups as well. So there's, you know, non-league is definitely the place to be this weekend and to be getting out and watching a game.
But interestingly as well, yeah, there's a number of non-league clubs that are missing some of their international stars from some of the lesser-known FIFA nations. But there isn't any additional dispensation for that. So again, one of those headaches that your manager can't plan at the start of the season. You know, maybe you know that a player's likely to be called up, but to lose one or two of your players at this stage of the season, when particularly with the number of additional yellow cards and everything that's been stacking up this year, and it's as you said just a minute ago, people don't necessarily understand all the variables, all the things that people who are running football clubs, running football teams, have to consider.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it Dalic as well? Playing against Billericay last month was sort of postponed because they had international call-ups, didn't they? So maybe that'll be a thing of
the future.
You know, more common in the future, because you know it's a great opportunity for so many non-league lads and sort of to go out and play for their sort of various countries that they do, and sort of the opportunities and the experiences that gives them is brilliant. So, but yeah, maybe perhaps that'll be kind of a thing where we're talking about international weekend. There's not that many non-league games on. But yeah, as going back to your original point, there is so much to consider for people, and as we've always said about you know how non-league is run on volunteers, and you know the volunteers need to keep coming, and people need to keep putting their hands up to help out, however big or small, and probably don't always realise the amount of skills that they do have from kind of other things they do in their lives and other jobs they have, how much of value they could be to a non-league club, and kind of how rewarding that is as well. And yeah, I'm sure if many people listen to this, if they sort of fancy getting involved in a non-league club, then definitely go and do it. Put your hand up and just help in any way you can.
Indeed, any way you can. So lots of FA Cup and league action this weekend to be reported on, I'd imagine. Some reaction to the FA Trophy draw that we had at the start of the week, and some FA Vars previews, because we've got that next weekend as well. But anything else in particular we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Well, you summed up well there. Yes, we've got.
It's all about the cup,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's just FA Vars, FA Cup, FA Trophy these weeks, and it is. Yeah, trying to keep your head around what's on. But I spoke to Richard Lavery at Corn, the Corn manager for the FA Trophy after they beat AFC Telford last week 2-0, and what a great result that was for the club, and you know, won promotion up from step five last year through the interstep playoffs, going well in the Northern Prem Division One Midlands this year as well. And Rich was kind of saying, you know, that I'm loving the FA Trophy. He had a good run in it as a player. Got to the semis when he was a Telford player, and obviously knocked his old club out last week, and he wants it to kind of carry on as long as possible. He's more than happy to play catch up in the league if it keeps their FA Trophy run going on as long as possible. But they've got Stafford Rangers next, so he'll be, I'm sure, very keen to progress themselves. So yeah, we've got that. Looking forward to ahead in the FA Vars. Couchy's caught up with Alfie Rutherford. Obviously, he had a bad injury last year, ACL, and I think he had heart surgery as well. Mm-hmm. Came back, he's back playing there. I think he scored for Bognor.
He did. Weekend, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not sure who it was against.
Oh yes, yeah. I think he came off the bench and scored within 2 minutes. Yeah.
Well, you know, something for the something to be worked on maybe at the. The next team meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we caught up with Alfie. I've also spoken to Lee Worgan, who's former Maidstone, Dover, Tonbridge Angels keeper. He's hung up, well, I suppose as a goalkeeper, you hang up the gloves, don't you? So he's hung up the gloves and sort of reflected back on his bit of his career and kind of, I always find it interesting, you know, talking to players. It's such a unique, weird kind of job being a non-league footballer, you know, part-time job being a non-league footballer, and kind of, you know, people are sort of think about Lee and his kind of, he had four promotions and obviously playoff final penalty save to get Maidstone into the non-league's top flight. I think it's 2016 or 17, and you know, all those kind of big moments. But it's also these sort of friendships that these players and people at clubs form, and kind of the experiences they have going all over the country and playing games and FA Cup runs and all these kind of the things that we probably don't really think about, you know, from the outside. Where, to say, you see the things that they achieve on the pitch, but it's, you know, those things off the pitch and those horrible Tuesday and Thursday nights of training when they all come in and you know, the sacrifices they make to kind of have a good go at a non-league career. So caught over Lee about that, which was interesting. And once we got a piece in there with talking of the FA Trophy, a former FA Trophy or an FA Trophy winner from many years ago, Sean Teal, who won it with Bursko, got an interview with him, and he's looking back and reflecting back at that famous trophy win for the club many years ago. I think it was when I think it was at Villa Park when the old Wembley was being knocked down and the new one being rebuilt. So plenty in there this week, lots going on, and as you say, all eyes on the FA Cup.
Well, I look forward to reading all about it. Thank you for joining us, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim. Speak to you soon.
And that then is it for this week. Thank you as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all of those involved in FA Cup action this weekend. What a weekend to be involved. A big thank you to everybody for listening too. Don't forget you can follow us and get involved on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Castbox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you, and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.